Clara's Day, Part 2.
Most of the school had gone home, but all those in Clara's form who had boyfriends at St. Bennet's, which was practically everyone, were hanging around the bus station deliberately not catching buses because St. Bennet's came out half an hour later. Clara hung around for a bit too, just to be sociable, and then got on her bus. She sat on the top deck by herself and looked down onto the pavements. It was very hot. Everyone young had bare legs. Roadmenders were stripped to the waist. Everywhere there was flesh. Brown backs and white knees and glimpses of the hair under people's arms and the clefts between breasts and buttocks. In the park, the grass was strewn with sunbathers. There were girls in bikinis, sprawled like starfish face down, with a rag of material between their legs and the strings of the top half undone. Clara, with no bra or pants on, could feel warm air washing around between her skin and her clothes. Coming down the stairs as the bus approached her stop, she had to hold her skirt in case it blew up. Her mother was already home. She worked part-time as a dentist's receptionist and had what were called flexible hours, which meant more or less that she worked when it suited her. Afternoons, nowadays, often didn't suit because Stan, her friend, who was an actor, was only free in the afternoons. Stan wasn't there today, though. Clara came into the kitchen, where her mother was drinking tea and looking at a magazine. "Hi," she said. "Any news?" Which was what she said most days. Clara said there was no news, and her mother went on reading an article in the magazine called Clara Could See Upside Down Across the Table, Orgasm, Fact or Fantasy. Presently, she yawned, pushed the magazine over to Clara, and went upstairs to have a bath. Clara had another cup of tea and leafed through the magazine, which was mostly advertisements for tampons and deodorants, and then began to do her prep. The head's letter came a couple of days later. Clara heard the post flop onto the doormat, and when she looked over the banister, she knew at once what the typed envelope must be. At the same moment, Stan, who had stayed the night, came out of her mother's room on his way to the bathroom. He wore underpants and had a towel slung round his neck like a football scarf, and was humming to himself. When he saw her, he said, "Watcha, how's tricks then?" And Clara pulled her dressing gown more closely round her and said, "Fine, thanks."
"That's the stuff," said Stan vaguely.
"Hey, I got you a couple of tickets for the show. Bring a friend, okay?" He was a stocky, muscular man with a lot of black hair on his chest. The smell of him across the landing was powerful. A huge, inescapable wave of man smell. Sweat and aftershave, and something you could not put your finger on. Clara always knew when he was in the house before she opened the sitting room door because whiffs of him gushed about the place. She said, "Thanks very much. That would be super," and edged into her room. When she came down, they were both having breakfast. Her mother was just opening the post. She said, "Coffee on the stove, lovey."
"Oh, goody, my tax rebate's come."
She opened the head's letter and began to read. First, she stared at it with a puzzled look, and then she began to laugh. She clapped her hand over her mouth, spluttering.
"I don't believe it," she cried. "Clara, I simply do not believe it. Stan, just listen to this. Isn't she the most incredible girl? Guess what she did? She took off all her clothes in school assembly and walked out starkers."
She handed the letter to Stan and went on laughing. Stan read the letter, grinning hugely. He looked up at Clara.
"She'll have done it for a dare, I bet. Good on you, Clara. Terrific. God, I wish I'd been there."
He patted Clara's arm and Clara froze. She went completely rigid, as though she had turned to cement. And when eventually she moved a leg, it seemed as though it should make a cracking noise. Her mother had stopped laughing and was talking again.
The last thing anyone would have expected of you, lovey. You've always been such a prude, ever since you were a toddler. Talk about modest. Honestly, Stan, she was hilarious. As a little kid, I can see her now, sitting on the beach at Camber, clutching a towel around her in case anyone got a glimpse of her bum when she was changing. Age 10. And when her bust grew, she used to sit hunched over like a spoon so no one would notice it. And if she'd had to strip off for the doctor, you'd have thought he'd been about to rape her from her expression. Even now, I can't get her out of that Victorian one-piece school regulation bathing costume. And it's not as though she's not got a nice shape. Smashing, said Stan, slurping coffee. Spot of puppy fat still, but that's going. Good hips. My legs, if I may say so. Which is what makes this such an absolute scream. Honestly, sweetie, I wouldn't have thought you had it in you. I mean, I've not been allowed to see her in the buff myself since she was 12. Honestly, I've wondered once or twice if there was something wrong with the girl. Her mother beamed across the breakfast table. Anyway, old Mrs. Watsit doesn't seem to be making a fuss. She just thinks I ought to know. More coffee, anyone? God, look at the time. And I said I'd be in early today. Oh, I'm off. Leave the breakfast things, lovey. We'll do them later. Coming, Stan. Clara went on sitting at the table. She ate a piece of toast and drank her coffee. Her mother and Stan bustled about collecting her purse and his jacket and banged out of the house shouting goodbye. The front gate clicked. The car door slammed. And then Clara began to cry. The tears dripping from her chin onto her folded arms, and her face screwed up like a small child's.